praise the Lord. You know, I get exciting there a little bit as I was praying about the Holy Spirit. Just because even today the Lord was giving me revelation on it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, this week I met with someone, and as I talked with them, you know, I shared a bunch of scripture with them, and they came from a denominational background where they had knowledge of scripture, but they didn't have they didn't really have knowledge of the character of God. Amen. And you know, I found that so often in my discussions with other Christians is that, you know, that there's two kinds of Christians really, that there's kinds that, I say two kinds, maybe there's more, I don't know, but I think at least right now there's two kinds of Christians, that there's those that have revelation of the Word, that know God through revelation of the Word, and those who just know God through the words that are written, amen? And it's so important that we are people that have revelation of the Word, amen? But you know, we only have revelation of the Word through the understanding of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. You know, the full purpose of the Holy Spirit, His job to come to the earth was to make sure that we had revelation of the Word that Jesus taught. Amen. And that's why He reminds us of the things that are in the Word. And so it's very important to understand that there's need for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we're a church that's not just a Word church. We're a Spirit church. And when we say that, that's exactly what we mean. That we put the Word first, but we also seek the revelation that the Holy Spirit would give us. Amen. And we know this, that if we stay connected to the Word and we stay connected to the avenues that the Lord has given us to stay connected to, that the Holy Spirit will always lead us and always guide us, and He'll always teach us those things that we need to know. Amen. And so I get excited when it comes to having a service, because when it comes to have the service, it's opportunity for the Holy Spirit to move on us all. And I believe that's exactly what He wants to do here tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We should never be looking for a message out of the Word of God. We should never be looking for a message that man made up, or a message that's just preached just because you're going through something specific this week. But what we need to do is we need to seek a message that's from heaven. Amen. Because a message that's from heaven, no matter what you're going through, it'll always speak to it. It'll always give you answers. It'll always give you a direction what you need to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. The last thing that God's people should be is lost. The reason that God's people are lost is because they have not connected to His Spirit. Because Jesus has promised us that that Spirit would show us things to come, that that Spirit would remind us of the truth that He taught. Amen. And if we know that, if we know that the truth sets us free, and that Spirit's job is to lead us in accordance with the Word and guide us with the direction of the Word, praise the Lord, then we know that God's people should never be lost. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I'm not a lost person. I won't say that I'm lost. I hope you don't say it either. Praise the Lord. We're not hopeless sinners. We are set free. We are blood bought. Hallelujah. And we have been given the Spirit to ensure that we stay there. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. Tonight's message is called Peace Equals Increase. Hallelujah. Peace equals increase. One of the number one areas, when we're going to see this tonight, but in life, you know, I know Pastor Michael has been teaching about peace and about how to go into this next thing that God has for us, that we're going to have to be people that learn the path of light and easy. Amen. But you know, it dawned on me as I was studying this out, and this is just the direction that the Spirit was leading me in studying this, but it dawned on me that, you know, light and easy, of course, we like the idea of light and easy. Light and easy sounds good. Don't you want light and easy? Amen. But you know, light and easy is a choice as well. And it's a choice in living in peace, a peace with other people, a peace with other Christians. Amen. And so we have to know that we choose the path of peace. Amen. We choose the path of light and easy. Now, God's, you know, overwhelmingly, as I was studying this out, I kept seeing scriptures that said things to the nature of, you know, the peace of God, but then also the God of peace. And we know that, you know, in the Old Testament, that He called Himself Jehovah Shalom, which means the God of peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God's desire for the human race is peace. But it's not, again, it's not just peace in your own life. And of course it is, because you can't go higher unless that which you've already got is taken care of. You know, I love that. That's what Pastor Michael really is. Was revealed to him, and what he was sharing with us is the fact that, you know, we all want more, but if you can't handle what you got, then more isn't going to do you any good. And God will not give you more because he's not going to put more on you. Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. Well, what would the sorrow of more be? The sorrow of more would be more than you can handle. Yeah, right. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can't handle five people, then you certainly aren't going to handle 10 people as a church, as a pastor. Amen. And so I need to make sure that I'm a pastor who can handle two full churches. Amen. Because if I'm not a pastor who can handle two full churches, then we certainly aren't going to have two full churches. Amen. But also with you in your own lives, if you can't handle if you can't barely handle what you got, don't just go seeking for more. What you need to be seeking is peace in what you have. Amen. You need to find peace where you're at. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Because you don't qualify for more until you find peace where you're at. Yeah. I want to say that again. You don't qualify for more until you find peace where you're at. So many people want more, but they don't qualify for more because they don't have peace where they're at. Right. Praise the Lord. We got to be people that are at peace. Praise the Lord, all times and all things, because that's what God has called us to. Praise the Lord. Peace equals increase. Amen. If you can be at peace, you will have more. You will do more. You will see more. There will be more to your life. Praise the Lord. You will do more for God if you can find peace. Amen. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to work on here tonight. Amen. Turn with me to James 3:18. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James 3, chapter 3, verse 18. I love this scripture. Amen. Now the fruit of peace is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise the Lord. I interpreted this scripture and I wrote it down because I wanted to break it down. Because, you know, it's one that you could get lost on a little bit. At least I did. But you could read it like this. The things which righteousness produces are first planted by those who live peacefully. So the things that righteousness produces is first planted in those, how did I say that? Those who live peacefully. Glory to God. We have to be seeking peace at all costs. Dr. Dufresne used to tell this to us. He said, seek peace at all costs. What does that mean? As much as it's up to you, seek peace at all costs. Peace is your friend. It is not your enemy. Praise the Lord. Peace is where you want to be. So you want to have peace around you. Now, that does not mean that peace will always be around you. It means that sometimes, you know, we know that sometimes there is opposition to things. Yeah. But as much as it's up to us, the Bible says, seek peace with all men. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I wrote this down as I was preparing this because it seemed right. If you aren't sowing it, you aren't growing it. Yeah. Amen. And so no matter what we're doing in life, if we ain't sowing it, we ain't going to grow it. It just isn't going to happen. You can't sit there and be a bad steward and expect that God's going to bless you with more. You can't, what you got, being a bad steward of what you got. Praise the Lord. Well, the same thing is in every area of life. If we're not sowing it, we are not growing it. That's why the Bible tells us the sower sows the word. Praise the Lord. Overwhelmingly, we see the word peace come up in Scripture. Peace on this and peace on that. Be at peace amongst yourselves and the God of peace. We're the people of peace. When the angel came to announce that Jesus was going to come, what did he say? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace on earth. That's what the Spirit is supposed to lead us to, is peace. Praise the Lord. But if we ain't sowing it, we ain't growing it. If we're people that don't live in peace, then we're not going to see peace. Amen. And that's exactly what the scripture is talking about. But I love that it says the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What are the fruits of righteousness? Well, there's a lot of things that come out of being righteous, aren't they? You could sum it up like this. You could say that the fruits of righteousness are any blessing that the Lord has promised us. Anything that God said that belongs to us, anything that God says that we can get into, praise the Lord, those are the fruits of righteousness. How do we know? Because you weren't righteous, you weren't getting it, but once you're righteous, you can get it. Being righteous, now what does it mean to be righteous? Well, there's some things to that. Amen. It just doesn't mean that you go to church or that you call yourself a Christian. There's a lot to being righteous. We understand that. It's not hard, but we understand that there are things to being righteous. But praise the Lord, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. And so, in other words, if you want fruit, you got to sow something, right? If you want to plant or if you want to harvest, you have to plant seeds. Amen. And so If you want what righteousness gets you, the seeds that the scripture is telling you you need to plant are that of peace. You need to sow peace. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We need to be people who make peace. Peace should be our goal. Peace should be our understanding. It should be our everything that we're after is peace. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, as I study out the Word and I see different things in the Word about, you know, some people say, you know, what's greatest in the love? You know, Jesus said that love is the greatest commandment. But we say, well, you know, the Bible also says that we should live by faith. Amen. And so we understand that faith is important. So there's love and faith. And we understand that hope is important. We understand that the fruits of righteousness are important. So what's important? All of them are important. Amen. But you see this, that they all work together. Yeah. You know, you can't be in faith unless you're in peace, because God doesn't lead that way. And so a lot of times people think they're being led by God, and they're not being led by God because they're not in peace. And because they're not in peace, they're not receiving the things that God has for them. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. We want to make sure that we are receiving all that God has for us, and that comes from being peacemakers. We have to determine that we are going to be peacemakers. Amen? Of course, husbands and wives, we understand this in our own home. We do whatever we have to do to get to peace. Why? Because the Bible says that without it, we're hindered. Our prayers are hindered. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says so much about this stuff. We need to make sure that we grab onto it and get milk it for all it's worth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get all that we can out of it. Turn with me to Romans 14:17. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, if you were up in the Fredonia meetings, Pastor Michael was teaching on this scripture here, and that's not why it's in this sermon, but it's a wonderful scripture, and I highly suggest if you weren't at them or all of them or any of them or whatever, go back and get the ones that you know, listen to them. They're free on their website. It's very, very important stuff. I mean, how we, especially the second night, we're sitting there like, this is the answers to all life's questions. I mean, if you went to the second night, praise the Lord, you were blessed. I'm just telling you. And if you weren't, it's because you're a fool and you didn't listen to anything that was being preached. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God has got good things for us. Amen. And the Word. Amen. Hey, this scripture is so important that I highlighted it twice. Hallelujah. I highlighted it with one color and then I circled it with another. And then I underlined to boot. Amen. Praise the Lord. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now that word righteousness, it literally means the state of him who is as he ought to be, or the state of her who is as she ought to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it is not a stretch. It is not a stretch by any means to say that righteousness is also love. Praise the Lord. Love would be interchangeable here. The word love, is as God defines it, praise the Lord, would easily be interchangeable here, because we're supposed to be the people of love. God is a God of love, so we should imitate our Heavenly Father as children, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So you could easily say, but the kingdom of God is love. Well, you know, righteousness is more than just love. I'm not narrowing it down and saying it's only love, but we have to understand that that could be included in here. Amen. And so we see this, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, it's not the rules and the regulations that the Jews tried to follow. Praise the Lord. It's righteousness or love and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, these things all sound like something else to me. All sound like another scripture to me found over in Galatians 5:22. And so I want you to flip over there real quick. Praise the Lord. We need to be people of peace. Flip right by it. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. Now, it's more things than that, but I want to focus, for the sake of this message, I'm going to focus on the first three. Notice that the first thing that is mentioned is love, praise the Lord, and then joy and peace. The same things that we just got over there in the other scripture in Romans 14:17, which said, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, what do we know? Of course, we know love is important. Jesus said it was the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Praise the Lord. And to love your neighbor as yourself. We understand that all the commandments are wrapped up into that. And that's pretty important. Amen. But so often we forget about these other two things, peace and joy. Now, there's a scripture that says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And so we understand that. We understand that the joy of the Lord gets us our strength. But the peace is like the open doorway into the things of God. Amen. And so if we get this, that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness, praise the Lord, they are love, joy, and peace. Amen. Peace is so incredibly important. We cannot work. We cannot function without peace. You know, I don't know about you, but there's so many times when somebody annoys me. I'll be out in the world and somebody will annoy me. And I know what's right to do. But on the inside of me in my mind, I don't want to do it. In my heart, I know what's right. In my mind, I don't want to do it. Amen. But what is at stake? We have to understand that. What is at stake by not doing it, by not acting the way that we should? What's at stake is all that God has for us. If we're not sowing it, we can't grow it. We can't get the fruits of righteousness if we're not sowing peace. James 3:18 told us that. It's just plain and simple. We cannot get more of God. We cannot get more from God if we are not people of peace. It is something that we have to absolutely stand on. We cannot let it go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why do you suppose the greatest commandment is love? Praise the Lord. It's because without love, there cannot be joy and peace. Love affords us joy and peace. Amen. The Bible says that, you know, any man who fears has not been made perfect in love, because fear involves torment. But notice that it says that has not been made perfect in love. God has endeavored that we are made perfect through love. Amen. And what is that? That's joy and peace. That's getting to that place where we have the joy of the Lord no matter what the situation is. You know, the problem that most people fall into when you have something that comes against you, something that tries to tear your life apart, something that just gets in there and tries to wreak havoc, you know, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a bill that you weren't expecting, whether it's your car breaks down, just whatever. The whole purpose of it is to take two things from you, and that's joy and peace. The devil knows that if he can rob joy and peace from you, that he can keep you from walking out the plan of God. We have to be people that are realize that who we are in Christ, and that nothing can shake us from that. If we are people that realize that, then we will always stay in joy. We will always stay in peace. Amen. Peace is the thing that affords, it gets us into the things. Peace is like the grace of God. It activates the grace of God. It opens the door for God to be able to move in our lives. Praise the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us pointed towards peace. Amen. And so these things work in conjunction with each other, and they work out of the place of love. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is why it's so imperative that we be people of, praise the Lord, people of joy, peace, glory to God, the people of love. Turn with me to Philippians 4:6. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Philippians 4:6. Some of my favorite scriptures here. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, you could sum it up really simple. Be at peace. Yes. Be anxious for nothing. There is nothing that is worth our anxiety. There is nothing that's worth us letting it get us stirred up. Nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That means nothing. Don't be anxious for anything. praise the Lord, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I love this. It says with thanksgiving, and this is so often people get to prayer. Sometimes they'll even supplicate, amen? But a lot of times, this is the ingredient that people forget, with thanksgiving. One thing I don't know about you, but I've noticed about somebody who's thankful is that they are joyful. People who are thankful are also people who are smiling. They're people that are happy. Why? Because they realize they have something. Amen? The problem with so many people of God that call themselves by God's name, praise the Lord, so many of these people is that they're not thankful. They don't have thanksgiving. They allow the problem to overshadow their thankfulness, their joy, and therefore they fall out of peace. They lose the things which God has for them. That's exactly what anxiety does. It takes your focus on off of who God is. So often we think that our problem is the thing that stands before us, and the problem is not that. The problem is that we have taken our focus off of God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If people would just simply focus on God, everything would be a lot easier. You would stay at peace all the time. If you have perfected keeping your peace, Jesus perfected keeping his peace on God. Yeah. I love the account of when Jesus was going to the other side with the disciples, and they were in the boat, and the big storm arose, praise the Lord, and the boat started filling with waves were crashing into the boat. And what does the Bible say? It says Jesus was asleep on a pillow in the back of the boat. Amen. What is that? That is somebody who has perfected peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is at peace with the world. He is at peace with himself. He's at peace with God. He was at peace, so he was able to sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what we should be. That's what being anxious for nothing is. Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's coming up against you. It does not matter what's rising against you. That's where the rubber meets the road, though. Folks, this is where so often you can find out where someone's faith is at. How do they hold up under adversity? When somebody gets to that place where they are not at peace, you know, that's why, you know, somebody asked me about some of those Christian songs. And that's what I don't like about some of those sappy Christian songs, is that they sing about, you know, it's always singing about this place of being depressed. And listen, the Bible says that we must put on joy. That joy is like a garment that we can put it on and we can let it be taken off. Amen. But we put it on. Joy is not something, it's a choice. It's just like love is a choice. Joy is a choice. And just like that, both of those are choices. Peace is a choice. It's all a choice. Do we stay at peace within ourselves? Or do you know what I mean? Do we stay at peace, or do we allow ourselves to get out of peace? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But these songs, so often they're singing about from a place of being depressed. I understand what it's like to be depressed. I understand what it's like to be downtrodden. I understand what it's like to feel the adversity. But feeling the adversity, feeling depressed, continuing in that sadness will not, absolutely will not get you out of the place that you're in. It's not going to change your situation. So you can focus on it. You can talk about it. You can cry about it. You can write your neighbors about it. Write your grandma about it. It does not matter. You can do all you want with it. But as long as you're focused on the things that are taking you down, that's exactly what they're going to continue to do. They will take you out, because that's exactly what they're designed to do. Amen. The devil is not a fool in that sense. He knows what can get people. Amen. And so that's what he goes after. Well, praise the Lord. Let your request be made known to God. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, see, a lot of people say, well, I prayed and I thank God and stuff like that, but the peace of God hasn't come on me. It hasn't surpassed my understanding yet. I'm in this place of no peace. Praise the Lord. That's because you haven't really connected to it yet. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. When you connect to God's word, amen, the Holy Spirit, again, reflecting back on him, the Holy Spirit's job is to remind us of God's word. What does God's word do for us? It lets us know who we are, what the outcome will be. It lets us know strengths we have, praise the Lord, what we have to worry about, what we don't have to worry about. The Word is very clear on that, amen? The problem is so many people, so many Christians don't even know the Word. They don't know what the Word says about it. And so they misunderstand it, and so then they end up, saying things like, well, even when you don't move the mountains that I'm asking you to move and stuff like that, people get confused by these things because they're not talking the Word. They don't know the Word. It is so imperative. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. God's word is peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's desire is to be with us, to help us through all that trouble, all that adversity. Adversity. But the key is that we have to keep our focus in the right place. We have to keep it on the King of Peace. Hallelujah. When we focus on the issues, when we focus on all the things, it's so easy. When we focus on what, that other brother or sister in the faith is doing, we don't like what they're doing, and we're after it, we're looking at it, we're ready to tear it down, we're ready to come up with reasons why they're not a good Christian and all this other stuff. What are we doing? We're focusing on the wrong thing. We're letting peace go. And then when we desire the answers to our questions, we're not finding them, or the things that we're going through, we're not finding them, and it's because we've let it go. Christians make a habit of living in this place. They live in this place where they're constantly, how many times do you ever hear a Christian want to, I mean, praise the Lord. We write a faith fix and other Christians get it. And what do they want to do? They want to come out with their pitchforks and their torches, and they want to get you because God forbid you speak the truth. We speak the Word. It's right there. I've never written a faith fix that I didn't include the Word for. I've never preached a message that I didn't include the Word in. Now, you might not like what I'm saying, but that doesn't mean that the Word started, that I suddenly changed the Word. Amen. We're just preaching what the Word says. Praise the Lord. If God said that the peace of God, if I focus on the right things, the peace of God will guard my heart and mind, then I have to believe that it will. And if it's not, then it's probably not on God's end. It's on my end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some people don't like that idea of saying that there's things that happen on our ends. But we have to know that there are things. It's foolish to think that we can be disconnected from our actions. Praise the Lord. It's foolishness to think that we can be disconnected from our actions. If we don't connect to what God said, if we don't do what He tells us to do, then we are not going to have the things that we desire out of them, but we will, just like the Jews did, we will get the opposite of the blessing. We'll get the opposite. God told us way back there, where was it? It was in Joshua. Praise the Lord. He said, if you hearken to my word, if you do what my word, praise the Lord, says, you'll be blessed. But he says, if you forget it, if you leave it, I'm chopping it all up, but you understand where I'm going with it, amen, that you can leave it all behind, praise the Lord, and you'll have the curse. Well, a lot of people don't like to hear about the curse. They don't like to believe in the curse. Well, Jesus set us free. Yes, Jesus set us free. That's true. There is very much truth in that. That is the truth. But the truth of Jesus setting us free is also that we have to receive that being set free. If we're not good disciples, if we're not connected to what God's doing, if we're not doing His commandments, then the Bible says that we are deceiving ourselves. Praise the Lord. It says we're deceiving ourselves. And if we're deceiving ourselves, that means that we're just running around wondering why God's not working for us. But the truth is we're not doing the Word. We're not working the Word. Amen. This is I love that John was talking about the scripture. It said, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Praise the Lord. If they were automatic, then we would all automatically have them, wouldn't we? Right. But they're not automatic. It's in Him. What does it mean, in Him? It means as we're connected to Him, as we're connected to what God's doing, as we say, Lord, I want to be part of who You are. I want to be a person of peace. Yeah. Therefore, I'm going to crucify my flesh when I don't feel like being at peace. When I don't feel, see, this is the thing. We can't separate ourselves from the commandment. Now, I realize that the law has been taken from us in the sense that we're not under the bondage of the law anymore. But that doesn't mean that we can throw it all away. Over and over and over again, Jesus talked about doing what he said to do. He said, if you don't do it, you can't be blessed. You can't get what he has for us. We separate ourselves from it. In fact, in 1 John, if you read 1 John, it tells us all about that if you say that you're a Christian, but you do the opposite, then you're fooling yourselves, that you lie against the truth. You don't have fellowship with God. Just because someone says they have fellowship with God because they can sit there and they can worship for 3 hours straight doesn't mean that they have fellowship with God. Amen. Do they connect to what God's doing? Do they believe the word? Do they trust the word? Amen. Well, glory to God. God has wonderful things for us. He has wonderful things that he intends his people to get into. But his people decide all the time by every decision they make. Amen. When people decide to not tithe and to give, what are they deciding? They are deciding that they don't want to be fully blessed. When people are deciding that they don't want to be in church, what are they deciding? They don't want to be fully blessed. Why? Because God gave us these things to be fully blessed. He said, you cannot be fully equipped without the local church. Glory to God. And yet there's all these Christians out there that feel like they can have God without the local church. You can't do it. You can't have God, praise the Lord, and not do what God said you got to do to get it. They just think that for some reason, well, Jesus died, so everything's automatic. But everything's not automatic. It's not just happening, is it?
No.
But this is what makes Christians look like fools, because what they're doing is they're out there saying one thing, like God is good and God wants to bless you and all this stuff. And then they turn around and say, well, yeah, but you can do whatever you want to do. And then they're not obeying it. They're not living it. Praise the Lord. Our lives should be indications of God's goodness. It should be, our lives should sing about God's goodness.
Yeah.
If we have been in the same place for any length of time, really, and there isn't a positive change in us, then something has happened in the connection, our connection with God.
Yeah.
Because God will always take you from glory to glory. He'll always take you from one level to another level, because that's what God does. God is an exhorter. He's a builder upper. Amen. He's an increaser. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God desires us to increase, but we cannot increase without peace. This is in today's society, it can be very difficult, it seems, at times when you have all the things that you have on the news saying this and saying that. You have all these different Christians. We just saw the Methodist churches. Just, I don't know if you've read that in the news, is about to split. What are they splitting over? Are they following the word or not following the word? Well, it's just the truth. You can't, but what is that? It's a lack of peace. It's division. It's the devil that's got in there and has destroyed it. And what does it make the church look like? Again, it makes the church, it kind of gives the church a black eye, because the world, the outsiders look at it and see, they can't even get it right.
Yeah.
They can't even figure it out. Why can't they figure it out? Because somebody's not following the word. Somebody or many people are not following the word. And because they're not following the word, you look at how things unravel and fall apart. God's will is very evident. God's will is very direct. It's not this crazy thing that's so hard for us to understand. Praise the Lord. That's why giving us the word is important. But when you reject the Holy Ghost, you reject what the word has given us. You reject. In fact, I want to turn somewhere. Let's turn to John. Praise the Lord. John 14. Praise God. John 14. Start in verse 25. Well, actually, go back up to verse 23, because we just see what it says here, just what I was talking about. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Yeah.
And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Yeah.
He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Amen. Praise the Lord. And now the very next verse, it says, these things I have spoken to you, I love in my Bible, first of all, because there's the title of this section is called the Gift of His Peace. Praise the Lord. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit is peace. Yeah, and this is why so many, now, you know, I don't think there's any mainline Christian denominations that outright reject the Holy Spirit in the sense that they reject him as a person of the Godhead, or that he's not there. But they don't fully embrace what the Holy Spirit does. They don't fully receive from the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, we talk about things like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, scripture after scripture after scripture, it doesn't matter to some people because they're denomination teaches them that the Holy Spirit is not that. Amen. That's not from God. Some people actually teach that that's from the devil, except this is what we read in Scripture. That's what the Scripture gives us. And so it doesn't matter how weird it seems. It's just the truth of the word. But what did Jesus say when he was in his own hometown? Praise the Lord. They would not receive him. So what do we know about that? That because he was not received in his own hometown, that they could not receive from his power and his ability. Amen. And he went on to say, he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, among his own people. And he was using that principle. And then he's also said that, you know, how you receive whom I send to you is how you receive me. And so if we don't receive the Holy Spirit the way that Jesus sent him, then we're not going to be able to benefit from those things which the Holy Spirit does. If he is the peace giver, he's the gift of peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace I leave with you in conjunction with, if you don't receive it, you can't reap from it. And what do we know about that? That the fruits of righteousness, glory to God, are sown in peace by them who make peace. Glory to God. Well, if you reject peace, if you reject the Holy Spirit, if you reject what he does, why? It wasn't that they rejected Jesus. You do know that. They didn't just say, get out of here. They said, the power that he's got, where does he get these things? Where does this supposedly come from? They're rejecting what he was doing. They were saying, how can this carpenter, how can this one who was just among us, that grew up with us, how can this guy heal the sick? And so the Bible says that because they didn't receive what he does, they won't receive from what he does. Praise the Lord. They won't receive what he does, so they won't receive from what he does. Glory to God. And so we see this principle over, and it's not just there. I mean, we see it over and over in the Word, that people not receiving what God wants to do, and as a result, they don't benefit from it. So the same thing is here. We have to receive from the Holy Spirit. We have to be able to be people that receive from the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's see if I want to read any more. I have wrote this down. I wrote, this is why people don't receive God's word. Sometimes you will try to preach at people. Now listen, sometimes being at peace is going to keep your mouth shut. Yeah, praise the Lord. Sometimes we want to argue with people. I know, because I want to do this all the time. Praise the Lord. Anytime somebody opposes what I'm saying, oh man, I'm telling you, my first inclination is to argue. But sometimes you have to realize that there'll be people that you can't reach because they will not receive from you. Amen. And so what does that mean? Does it mean you can't say anything? No, it's not saying you can't say anything, but it means I wouldn't continue in an argument with somebody who won't receive what you have because they have no ability to. Right. They don't have any ability because they reject the things of the Holy Ghost. If they knew Jesus said that if you knew me, you knew the Father. And so if you know Jesus, if you know God, then you know the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know God and Jesus either. It's just the way that it is. Amen? Not fully know him. You can get an idea through the word, but you can't fully know what God wants from you. This is why so many people, God's people, are lost. Praise the Lord. I got a lot of notes that I wrote here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. People who do not recognize the operation of the Holy Ghost are people who cannot have true revelation. They'll never get what we're saying. That's why you can't be offended. I can't be offended as a pastor. There'll be people that come in here and they will not receive what I have or what I'm preaching because they have no ability to. Amen. They reject peace, and because they reject peace, they're essentially rejecting God. They're rejecting what He has. Amen. Go with me to Galatians 1:11. Galatians 1:11. We'll read 11 and 12. It says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, or which is preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." So many people try to separate the word into the, this is what Jesus said, this is what the apostle said. It doesn't matter. It was all received from God. The whole Bible was received and preached, was given by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we see this with Paul here. You know, he was saying that these things that I do, follow those things. Glory to God. Another place Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Glory to God. And so we understand that it's imperative that we follow those who have followed God. Amen. Following the disciples, the plan of the way of the disciples, the way that they did things is so incredibly important. We have to be people of peace. Amen. Turn with me now to Psalm 34:14. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34:14. Pretty simple instruction here. Depart from evil and do good. Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's cut and dry. Seek peace and pursue it. Departing from evil and doing good is seeking peace and pursuing it. Amen. Goes on, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. So the right, again, we see peace here connected to righteousness. And those are the ones that God's ears are open to. But those people who are not living in peace, those people who are rejecting peace, those people that are getting into strife, whether it's at work, whether it's in their home, whether it's with their relatives, praise God. We just came out of the time of year when it's just the opportunity for a lack of peace was all upon us. Amen. I don't know about any of you, but you know, there's always situations that I find that you can get wrapped up in, even if it wasn't by your own ability or your own desire, but somebody else brought it to you and laid it before you, and we have choice to go on. But we have to remember that God's ears are open to those who make peace, to the righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not to those who are creating strife and contention, or who are falling in line with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to be people of peace. I can't utter those words enough. Depart from evil and do good. It seems so simple, but it is simple. It is really that simple. When it's not God, it's not good. If it's not good, if it's not God, then it's evil. Plain and simple. If Jesus didn't do it, you know, that's another thing. I gauge a lot of things by that. You know, a lot of people say, "What would Jesus do?" It's not a bad saying, really. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good things in that. But I think about, did Jesus or the apostles, did they deal with people? How did they deal with people? Did they deal with people, you know, like this, this, and this? Or, you know, does our church look like the way the early church did? Or does it look like what we want it to be? Is it man's programs? Is it what we've made up? Or is it what God wanted it to be? Amen? We have to judge things based on that. Glory to God. Makes it really simple, doesn't it? And lastly, we're going to go to Colossians 3:15. Praise God. I'll get there someday. There we are. Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." In the Amplified, it says, "Let the peace of God rule as an umpire." Amen. peace ruling in our hearts. There's so many answers to so many questions that are found on the inside of us. Amen. If we would start, you know, there's been times I've used this before, but there's been times even buying lights or something like that at Home Depot, and I had a check in my spirit. I didn't let, you know, there was no peace. And so I followed that peace and it worked out in my benefit. So many times people go out, they'll move out, and they, you know, here's the thing. You can't have peace if you're not sowing peace. And so if you're, you know, if you're a Christian who's kind of got things off and all kinds of out of kilter and stuff like that, the problem with that is this, is that your leading is not going to be God. It won't be pure because it's from a place of doing evil or a place of not doing right. So we need to be people that are checking up on our actions and what we're doing, why we're doing them, our motives, because in doing so, we'll keep ourselves open to being able to hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has things he wants to deliver over to us, but are we willing to hear it? Do we have the ability to hear it? Amen. So let's follow God, follow peace. Let's be a people of peace in all areas. Strive for peace. If we're, you know, if it's upset, if it's strife, Proverbs tells us that God, one of the things that God despises is one who sows discord or strife and contentions. Amen. We don't even want to touch that. We don't even want to be there. Be the people of peace. Amen.